You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We do most of our social media engagement there. However, we are also on Instagram at CRS Podcast, and we are also on Facebook. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. You can get all previous 300-some-odd episodes there, as well as iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, everywhere except you know where and you know why. And Doc is here with me. Doc, what is going on? Are you bunkered?
Sheltering in place. No. Yeah, we are basically trying to stay home as much as possible. Although I did go out today and I picked up some lunch for Marissa and I from takeout, because all of our restaurants are closed for everything except takeout at this point. Bars are closed, gyms are closed, all sorts of stuff is closed. But you know, so far we're doing all right. Yeah, man, the world is it's very different than it was last time we recorded, but we'll talk about that in a second. We're not gonna spend too much time on it, cause I know y'all are sick of hearing about it, I'm sure. But, in the meantime, if y'all want, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram @doc_beats_s_z. But like Armand said, just follow the show. How are you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm tired. I got a lot going on, but, I'm
good. All stocked
I'm
up?
Good. Oh yeah. We double stocked up. Oh yeah. We're stocked up. we found a local spot that was serving. Here you go. Not serving. Not trying to get nobody in trouble.
Pandemic.
They were selling water by the caseloads. We got a bunch of water.
Okay, can you help me? Can you help me with this one? Why are people buying water?
Well, my girl and I are buying water because we drink a lot of water. And so I'm buying a lot of water because I don't want to run out of water.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm almost like I'm buying not to prepare for, all right, we're going to do this for a long time. Though that is, I'm already thinking about post-pandemic, how to begin moving and shaking. But I just don't want to be like, man, I'm thirsty, and go to the grocery store and not be able to get water at all. But here's the thing. When you go to the grocery store, Smart Water still available, Essential Water still available. Like, people are just buying up all the Kroger brand and why are you buying Dasani water? But yeah. So it's not like water isn't available. It's just people still have their preferences, even in a dire situation, which is a whole other conversation to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm buying just to make sure that, you know, my people are protected. You know, I got some elderly and some people who, you know, are not able to go out consistently. Some people who don't, you know, have the financial resources like that to go out. So, you know, helping the hood out, passing turkeys out for Thanksgiving, you know, just trying to make sure everybody's straight. How about you?
We're pretty well stocked. Trying to figure out, like, when do we want to go to the grocery store to top off? Right? Like,
of the Maybach?
I would not go. I mean, we're not at the point where we're like, you know, stealing from the rich yet in the streets, but maybe I wouldn't go drive around while there's like a line at Whole Foods or any grocery store. Maybe I wouldn't pull up in the Maybach and have your personal shopper go inside. We're not, like I said, we're not quite at the point where like rich people getting beat up in broad daylight. Like, society hasn't collapsed that much. I'm just saying. Yeah. Might want to not flash some cash around these days.
You're thinking about it. You're thinking about the heightened inevitability of that happening.
I mean, in terms of modern times, like, we are just in uncharted territory right now. 100%.
Yes. Yes.
So like, I don't know what's going to happen anymore. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Right. I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, we talked last week. I felt like we recorded just before everything changed.
Mm-hmm. And I think we brought up some really good points that I still haven't seen publicly discussed.
You know, as the youths used to say, early. Right. We were a little early to the party. You know, so since we last talked, I mean, sports are basically canceled, right? Across the board, which kind of like really is what got the ball rolling, right? Mm-hmm. Rudy Gobert spreading pandemic everywhere. And then
I try to tell y'all, was he on my all bum team? He was, wasn't he? I tried to tell y'all, and they called me a hater. Nope. foresight.
Sports kind of paved the way. But now, you know, state by state, town by town, like increasingly, like at least, you know, I don't know, maybe not every state, right? But at least like Northeast, like, you know, we're all basically, we're more or less shut down. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if New York City is like on lockdown within the next, you know, 2-3 days. The Bay Area is already on lockdown. Like, because
LA stuff is shut down, Florida stuff is shut down.
We just don't have enough tests to know. So all you can do is tell everybody stay inside. At some point, they got to get this testing thing like right and get it ramped up. But until then, I don't know. You know, schools can't, I mean, that's elementary schools. Like, I just saw today, like, my alma mater, UConn. They already had sent the kids home, but they were just like, yeah, you know, you're not coming back this semester. There's no graduation ceremony.
They shut that down.
Oh yeah. They said, if you left anything in your dorm, you know, we'll get in touch.
Wow. Because they've been talking about that with my kids, like potentially ending the semester. You know, right now the youths, you know, these whippersnappers, they get tablets and laptops, and so they're able to do like online learning. I'm able to check in and like check my daughter's attendance, her homework assignments, like all of that. There's no way I could have been a kid at this stage. No way.
Yeah. How am I supposed to get my homework done at the last minute on the bus? Am I the only one who did
get in the class real quick and, hey, you did homework last night. Can I see it real quick? And just writing it real quick as students are coming into class. Oh, I don't miss.
My handwriting would be terrible for some homework because I'm like the bus is kind of going over bumps and curbs and everything. And I'm you're waiting for the bus to not be quite as bumpy so you can get some, you can write it down real quick.
Yes. I do that with rap words now.
You get your 8 mile on.
Yeah, driving with your knee, and you know, you just you're looking at the road, and you just know where the words are, and you're just hoping predictive text, you know, just right your wrongs. That happens.
So yeah,
do you a question though about the testing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you agree with the idea that they are only offering tests to celebrities?
So I don't think they only are. I think what's happening is there are like private ways to get tests and there are public ways to get tests, right? Uh-huh. I think celebrities are simply paying whatever it costs to get a private test from wherever they have to get it.
Got it.
I do think that initially there was like when they tested the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think they like ended up using, it was a private lab that they used, but it represented like 50% of Oklahoma's capacity for that one day or something like that. And it's like, whoa, relax.
That's crazy.
Well, especially if you think about the fact that like, yes, you want to know. Yeah, you probably want to know if they have it. But you could also just tell them to like stay quarantined because they're all super healthy young athletes who probably aren't going to have a problem initially. You know what I mean? Like if you have test capacity and you have like elderly people or people who have compromised immune systems or people with respiratory problems, if you suspect that they might have it, maybe you should test them first. You know what I mean? Like, so there's definitely some of that going around. I mean, part of the problem is like, because we have private capacity and like, because I feel like even though it seems like things are happening really slowly, I mean, really quickly now, it's only really quick. It only feels that way just because we're such a decentralized country in terms of how we run things. So what we're getting now is like the onslaught of like every state or town trying to catch up with one another instead of like, it's not like, see, in France, they just announced like, okay, we're doing a national curfew in France. Like that's one news story, right? Whereas like when they do, so okay, the curfew in the Bay Area, that's a big story. If it's New York next, that'll be a big story. Like it's just going to be like the US will create like 20 big stories about that. You know what I mean? So it just feels like a lot more because of the way our system of government is set up. Like unless like the federal government goes all the way and basically declares like not just national emergency, but like real, like basically practically like gearing up for war kind of national emergency. Which we're not at yet, right? It's not like the government, and some have argued that they should take some of these steps, right? Like if the government needs like respirators and stuff like that, they could do like in wartime, they have the capacity to like go to factories and be like, I need you to make planes. I need you to make bombs. I need you to do this, right? That's how we like won World War II essentially, because we had such an immense amount of production capacity in this country and we were just this giant war machine. So like, the federal government's not going to factories and saying, I need you to start making respirators. They could.
Right.
Like that, but right. we haven't gotten to that point where they're trying to declare that kind of thing yet. I think part of it is like, you know, there are a lot of people in this country who would freak out if the government had that kind of, you know, made that kind of initiative. I think, and that's the conservative kind of half of the country. But then frankly, I think the liberal half of the country would also freak out if we gave Donald Trump those kind of powers. So like, mm-hmm. I think everyone, that's why, to me, I think that's why it feels like this like never ending onslaught.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
that makes sense.
You're staying safe though. You're going to be sort of homebound for a little while.
Yep. I'm teleworking just for the foreseeable future. I did not get a date, but I do have, who was that? Somebody I know is they've told their job to telework through the end of April, which is crazy.
I mean, there's a lot of places there's a lot of like things in this, like that are, everyone's sort of holding on to like some, like there's a lot of things where it's like, let's see what happens by the end of March. Right.
That's been standard.
Right.
From what I hear.
Yes. If you're trying to travel internationally, they're basically, it's a whole lot of, let's see where we're at the end of April. I'm still like clinging to my hope that my Europe trip could somehow miraculously happen in May, but I don't think international docs happening, which is sad, but there are bigger crimes in this world. So, you know, whatever. So yeah, I mean, the thing is like, until we get enough tests, the only way to stop the spread, because you don't know who has it, is to keep everybody home and isolate. So like, they just need to like staff that up real quick. Like they need to get those tests going so quickly.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you've got my biggest concern has been food service workers and, you know, people who just work hourly wages. Like even at my job, the people who work in the canteen, they got sent home. And my immediate question was, well, are they being paid an hourly wage? Like, are you making them take leave? I hope not. But like, you know, they shouldn't have to use up their AL and their annual leave and their sick leave because, you know, they were mandated to be sent home. Like, that's not fair. In addition to, you know, food service workers who, you know, they're making $2 an hour and, you know, are you tipping? You know, we got, takeouts and all that, but like, are you able to tip everybody's app and everybody's, you know, the way that things work? You're not always able to leave a tip, and this is how they make their money. You know, it's one of those things where I'm hoping once all this settles, like those are the small things. My girl and I are very like, we're adamant about being great tippers.
Yeah.
So I just hope that that's something that, you know, more people do. Cause like, yo, we gotta like, if we're talking about livable wages, yes. But what can we do on our end to ensure that, you know, we're taking care of each other as much as we can?
Yeah, it's interesting. The way France handled this was basically they told all their companies, like, just keep paying your people. We'll handle it. Like, we'll make sure that you are made whole, right? If you run out of money, the government will, like, backstop you, basically.
Mm. And I hope that's not and I've heard, okay, see, we said we weren't going to talk about this a whole lot, but there's so much. And so I've heard about, okay, so there are people who are not, no evictions. Yeah. There are some people who are not paying landlords that are not charging rent, utility companies that are not charging utilities. Now, are they going to make it to where if I don't pay my utilities for 2 months and then it comes back, are you stockpiling the bill up and then I get a utility bill for $400? Yeah. Or that's what's going to happen?
Basically.
Woo!
Right, because like this is like, because we're so decentralized as a country, it's all these like, it's all very piecemeal, right? Some, you know, a lot of and even in general, like where America is more liberal, what you get are what I call like, and what are referred to, what are referred to as like technocratic approaches, right? Which is basically like, oh, well, what if we like made a lot of loans available for small businesses to get them through this process? It's like, yeah, sure. Or the government could just say, don't worry about it, we'll cut you a big check. But like we like to make people jump through hoops in this country, right? We love to make, like, if you want to get on public, you know, assistance of any kind, we just love as a country to make you like fill out 5 million forms. Basically, we want you to prove that you need it.
Yeah.
Because we're so terrified. Like basically it's the sort of thing where it's like we're terrified that somebody might accidentally get public money who didn't need it as much as we think they should. Because apparently that would be the biggest crime. So because of that, we swing so hard in the direction and we're basically like, well, you need to follow these five different steps and fill out three forms in triplicate and do X, Y, and Z. and maybe you'll get it. It's like, yeah, in this case, or you could just give them money, right? Like, we're the US government. We can make this work. You know what I mean? Like, but what's really hard is for individual states to try to approach these problems, right? It's the sort of thing that kind of needs like a bold federal government to like say, hey, listen, this is unprecedented, but that's not where we're at, you know? Because ideally, right, you would say, listen, here's the deal. Like, if your state is saying that that the local conditions are such that we need to close all restaurants, keep paying your people, right? Now, of course, that's complicated for restaurants because, as you pointed out, we are pretty bad in this country at paying people who work in restaurants. If you're a tipped worker, you make two something an hour, and then you have to make up the rest in tips. So how do you backstop that? Not a perfect plan, but it's something. You know what I mean? So now there's a decent chance that everybody gets sent like a big old check. We'll see. But even there, right? There's the tendency to be like, well, rich people should get like only this much. And then the problem is you spend, like, speed is of the essence right now, right? Like, what you want is you need two things. I mean, basically, the money attempts to solve two problems. Number one, it gives the stock market confidence that like people will have money to buy things, and that even if they lose their job, they're going to be okay for a little while. The other thing the money does is I said stock market. Oh, and then of course, like, it actually means that, maybe I'm a small business owner and I get a certain amount of money. Like, okay, I don't need to fire these people. I can try to make this, you know what I mean? Like, it smooths over all these problems. And more importantly, it keeps people home, right? Where it's like, oh, I could go work my hourly wage job, but the government gave me a couple grand, so maybe I'll just stay home for a couple days. You know what I mean? Like, it stops those problems. Because that's just where we're at.
For lack of a better term, I'm saying your problem, but your problem is that you are speaking in a lot of hypotheticals because so much is in the air and so much is changing. It's like there's so many things to consider and we have to consider them in real time. And it's like borderline impossible to do.
Mistakes will
be made.
Right. Which is why, to me, it's almost like the only way to really do this is just go big, bold, and simple in a sense, right? Like, if you want to try to like, okay, well, we should give X amount to people who make less than this and 5% more to people who make this to this. Like, if you try to like be technocratic, right? If you try to get really technical with the solution and really try to like precisely calibrate it so that only the people, like, you're going to spend so much time negotiating that by the time it gets passed, the situation will have changed. You have to just sort of say, except, you know what? We might give some rich people money that they didn't need. That's okay, because the most important thing right now is that we make sure that people don't spread the virus. That is literally the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. We just have to get over that as a country. We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We're not there. So, yeah.
All right. So we should have told our listeners to skip the first 20 minutes of the show.
It's all good.
But let's get into some music, man. We got a lot to discuss.
We have a interesting concept to sort of announce and talk about a little bit, right?
Okay. You want to jump right into that?
I think let's jump right into that. So, last year we did a March Madness style bracket where it was actually somebody else's bracket that we just discussed in the show. And it was 64 different albums, right? Hip hop albums. This year we're going to try an idea. I don't really have a great name for it yet. I've been referring it to when Armand and I talk about it. The phrase I've been using is rapper vintages, right? Like sort of like vintages of wine. So like we're going to take a bracket. We're going to narrow this list down to 64. We've got more than 100 names on a Google Doc right now. We're going to ask everybody listening to let us know your favorite vintage of a rapper. What we mean by that is like, do you like 1995 Jay-Z or do you like 2001 Jay-Z? Maybe you want to be like, you know what? Actually, 99 Jay is my favorite, right? Do you like 96 Nas or 94 Nas? Right. Do you like 2015 Drake? 2018 Drake? Maybe Drake's not on your list at all. But the point is, we're going to attempt, and this will be controversial the whole way. That's fine. We're going to attempt to narrow a list down to 64. And
shout out Nintendo.
And then we are going to attempt to put them in brackets, which ought to be fascinating. And we're going to have all that. We're going to give everybody the ability to vote on it. And then we are going to discuss this on a future show.
Okay. Yes. So what Doc and I have done offline is Doc created a spreadsheet, a shareable spreadsheet. and Doc just began to list different rappers in their vintage years. And then I kind of filled in the blanks, aka put more East Coast and, or West Coast and down South rappers. So we're up to about 100 names. So I'm wondering, Doc, this is an idea on the fly. First of all, should we discuss all of the, not all the names, but God, maybe some of the more controversial, you know, the ones that, if we're talking March Madness, they're on the bubble. Mm. Maybe we could discuss some of the bubble names. And then what if we ended up doing like a NIT bracket of those other names that don't make it? Like we have so many options and so many places to go. And here's the problem. This is why we need you guys' help. Because if you guys know us from Kairos, we will overthink this thing until like it will just be endless. Yeah. So like you guys will help us reach a stopping point and just stop, and we can just make this a yearly thing and we could just build it off. But we want it to be just like we talked about with the stimulating the country and the economy. We just want this to be a big, easy one-shot kill. What's the deal? So I don't know. I'm excited, but there's so many places we could go with this. Like, I don't even know where to start.
You have someone on this list that there's at least one entry I was just stunned.
That's fine.
Do you want to talk about it now?
Who is? Because I named a bunch of people that you were like, huh?
But you have 97 Will Smith on here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Peak Big Willie style? What?
That's terrible.
How is he not on that list? Because here's the thing, Doc. We have to talk about criteria.
Okay, so that's a good excuse. So let's talk about, so what criteria are we judging? It's not strictly how well are they rapping?
I think almost everybody on this list raps well.
You're like almost everybody. I like how you left yourself an out just in case.
I mean, you have to do that. I've learned. Pretty much everybody on the list raps well, or at least raps well for what they do.
Okay.
So then there has to be other stuff. So is it achievements? Is it accomplishments? Is it what they did that year? And then what are we gauging that off of? Is it sales? Is it popularity? Is it awards? Is it, you know, recognition? Like, how do we go about that?
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
We could think of it as, when would that artist have worn the championship belt, okay, right? So like Jadakiss is on this list, right? Mm-hmm. You have a couple different, you wrote down, or I might have wrote this down, but we have there's two different Jada years written down on here, but honestly, like, which two would you pick?
I filled in the years.
Okay, you filled in years. So like,
yep.
That could be part of this is like, as we're sort of trying to figure out who belongs in this list, it's like, did they hold the, and see, because, you know, as you know from wrestling, obviously, there are different kinds of belts, mm-hmm, but they should have had the belt, some kind of belt, if they're on this list, mm-hmm, right?
Should have got a title
right.
run.
They should have had a title run of some kind.
If they didn't, because some of them clearly, some of these years are like clear title.
Right, some of them is like, some of them are like, you know, yes, obviously, right?
98 DMX is a title yes. run.
But yeah. Like somebody on here had like, you know, the TV title for like a week.
The TV title. Let me find out, Doc. Let me find out. Yeah, the TV title. Absolutely. Absolutely. US titles, cruiserweight champs, hardcore titles.
And as we try to rank this bracket, right, like 1 through 16, we have 4 different quadrants. You know, those who had the big title, like they're going to be 1, 2, 3, et cetera. So, you know, you're probably going to have some lower titles down in the 14, 15, 16 rank, right?
And this is why I would want to see if we could randomize the bracket, because I don't want to automatically put a 98 DMX against a 2011 Wiz Khalifa, because that's a wash. Mm. But, you know, I want to give peak Wiz Khalifa, black and yellow, super successful. Excuse me. I want to give him a shot to win his game.
To me, the problem with randomizing is it means we don't have a common thing to talk about on the following show, because everybody has a different bracket.
No. I mean randomizing the one that we choose that we all pick from.
Oh, okay. Hit a random button and see what comes out.
Yeah, because I don't want to. Because here's I don't want to get. I would much rather not pick. Okay, who's the number one? Maybe we could pick number one seeds.
Mm. Okay, we can figure this out maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but like I don't want to, everybody else, I want to give them a fair shake, because I'm cool with people arguing, oh, how could you have had 96 Pac is a 12 seed. Like, well, that's not really what this is about. Mm,
okay. All right. So that actually would save us a good amount of time, because otherwise you and I are going to spend 2 weeks debating who's a exactly. 3 seed in this bracket.
Exactly. And that's not important, because everybody here can hoop. Mm. Everybody here should have or did have a run with the title, which means they're all competent in what they do.
Okay.
So it really comes down to, you know, I could have a bracket, you could have a bracket, and then we could do a Twitter bracket, and then we could do a social media bracket, one on Twitter, one on Facebook, one on Instagram, and then we could do a Patreon bracket. I would like for our, there's so many, because I was going to say we could just like vote for them on each social media platform, but then I would like for our Patreon listeners to actually fill out their own bracket. Mm. Like, they would just get the whole bracket, as opposed to, you know, the guy that you vote for on social media, he may not win, but the people on Patreon, we're just giving them a chance to like vote right along with us, and they get their own brackets and they present. I don't know.
We still have to finalize some ideas here, but it sounds like what you and I have to do is let's figure out how to thin this list down to 64. Mm-hmm. And then we'll figure out randomizing the bracket and everything like that. But what we would love to know, because we got a pretty big list here, 104 people right now, 104 different vintages, I should say. Some people are represented multiple times. So what I would love to know, hit us up on Twitter at CRS Podcast and let us know what year of a particular rapper do you feel has to be on here, and which one do you think maybe should get on here but doesn't get enough love, right? Like somebody who might be like kind of sneaky good. Or maybe that we think we've all forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Anything else you want to say about the bracket? So more to come, definitely, for sure. Since we don't have real March Madness, we're gonna try to keep this interesting for the people.
For the people. Yeah, I think we all need a healthy, fun distraction.
Okay. All right. We have 4 different albums to talk about this week.
Let's do it.
Where would you like to start? We need to talk about J Electronica, which is, you know, a phrase I'd never thought I'd say. We have to talk about a J Electronica album. We need to talk about...
We'll do his last.
We need to talk about this second Lil Uzi Vert album. We need to talk about Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover's mysterious album that came out and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got an album from Travis Scott's protege, Don Toliver.
Let's start with Childish.
Okay. Just this weekend, randomly, a website called Donald Glover Presents appeared online, and people started tweeting about it, and it was doing nothing but streaming what appeared to be 12 new, or an album of 12, 11. Is it 11? Sorry.
Well, no, it's 12, but one song's not new.
Oh, right. Feels Like Summer's not new. Of 12 tracks, and it was at DonaldGloverPresents.com. There's no, you know... Not sure if he's going to go by Childish Gambino. He said he wouldn't. So maybe he's just Donald Glover now. But it's a whole new project, kind of. I sort of thought that he would maybe put it there and then eventually it would make its way to streaming services. But instead he took it off. And there hasn't been a word from him about what's going on. But before it got taken down, obviously the internet is always undefeated. So people grabbed the audio and tagged it. And so... Armand and I are working off of the only thing I'll say is the album that the order that you and I have, I'm not sure if that's the actual order of the album, because it's just, it's looping over around and around again. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like it. Yeah. Anyway. I'm trying to think where I even want to start with this. How did you feel about the stuff that he had been putting out since, This Is America, right? He had like a two pack, single thing, like very Drake-like, that he put out last year, right?
Mm-hmm. That was Feels Like Summer and another one, yeah. Right?
And it did okay. I don't think it like set the world on fire.
I think people liked Feels Like Summer.
I feel like, you know, Awaken My Love and This Is America, like expectations for him are pretty high, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, are they?
Mm. You don't think so?
Because I feel like the song transcended the artist.
Interesting.
So I feel like Redbone is one of those songs that just like penetrated culture. And so your grandmother has heard Redbone, but they're not like, oh, I love Donald Glover. But they really do. They like that song, Stay Woke, you know, versus something like This Is America became a Donald Glover song. Mm. And in retrospect, I think the timing of that was perfect. We I think the only critique that we have for that was that the song without the video was really average. But I think the timing of that song helped out a lot, along with the visual, of course. But I don't necessarily know if people are clamoring for Donald Glover music, though people loved Awaken My Love and it got a lot of accolades and nominations and Grammys and it sold well and the tour and all that stuff. I haven't heard a soul say we need more Donald Glover music. Hmm.
Interesting.
Have you?
Yeah, I have been that person.
Okay. Okay. Now, well, there
but,
you go.
You know, so he headlined Coachella last year, or was he performed at Coachella last year, and he had this augmented reality app that, I don't know if you remember this, that like people, I don't know, it was a unique, it was called Pharos AR, and people could listen to, and one of the songs is Algorithm, which is one of the songs on here.
Okay.
You know, I'm always very skeptical whenever musicians are like, here's my brand new tech thing, because, you know, at first, you know, notoriously, right, rappers would love to rap about random internet like things, but not really have it make that much sense. Just, mm-hmm. you know, using it like lingo, basically. And then the childish use, you know, doing a Pharos AR app kind of came off as like, I don't know, I did this because I have too much money and I need something interesting to do. So I never really paid attention to Algorithm or anything else. So I should so I should point out that Algorithm is also not super new. And I think a couple of these songs might have even been played at his Coachella show last year. But that being said, I want to get into this. I have track by track notes. Do you?
Okay. No.
Well, we can kind of skate through this because I'm just gonna be honest. This is not great. There's a lot of going on here to me.
Interesting. Because I think it starts off slow. I think there's a really, really dope run. The middle's kind of and then it ends all right. But I really like this run. There's a run that I really enjoy.
Well, how do you, so the track listing that we're working from starts with We Are and works its way down from there. I've seen other ones that start with Warlords and work its way down from there, which okay. kind of makes sense because Thank You feels like, well, I'll talk about that. We'll talk about it a little bit, but, so Algorithm, the production is, I'll be charitable and call it interesting to me. It sounds like, something from one of the Matrix sequels where they're all at a rave or something. Like it's not. There's a catchy childish hook on top of it, but like his vocals are sort of super distorted and he's kind of hiding them. Actually, there's all sorts of different songs in this project where he's kind of hiding his vocals. And I don't know. I don't really know what he's doing there, but I don't know. Algorithm is fine. It's cool.
Yeah, that's not where I start.
Time with your girl, Ariana Grande.
This is where it starts.
I heard the laser sounds and I kind of laughed a little bit.
I think Time is really dope.
It's basically a pop song. It's fine. I think it's kind of weird, kind of works. I don't know. I'm not decided on Time yet.
I feel like the production on this project is really progressive, and I feel like it's something that people aren't going to grasp onto for another year or so.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
When I hear people say that songs, that albums are progressive or take a long time to get into, what my brain translates that into immediately is, it's actually not that good, but if you listen to it a lot, you convince yourself it's good.
And I'll play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate and say, there's nothing that sounds like this.
For sure.
And there are tiny elements that are familiar, because a lot of this kind of sounds like, and I haven't watched the show, but I get like a really 80s Stranger Things sort of feel with the production, like really analog and pew pew, like
there's definitely some pew pews.
And because everything is cyclical, I could just see like 80s coming back with just modernization.
Well, like Vibrate is definitely vaguely Prince-ish, right? Vaguely, almost vaguely Andre 3000-ish in a way.
Lots of Prince on this album. Yes. Yes. I think this whole run is really Prince, Andre 3000.
Well, to be beautiful,
yeah,
that's super Prince. That's the best song on the project to me.
Beautiful's fire. Yeah. Yeah. I like Beautiful. Yeah, I like this whole run from time to thank you. I really, really like
it. Yeah, thank you. It's too long, but you know.
A lot of these songs are too long.
This is like the big closing song at the end of the concert when everyone's waving their phones back and forth. That's what thank you is to me.
See, there's a thing about your closing song. You got to like, it has to be a song that people want to stay for.
Mm.
Because when Tyler did Let's Be Friends, like we all.
That was actually the thing I was going to say is this is his equivalent of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a risk. It can be risky, right? Sometimes you want to end with the big, with like your biggest of all time hit. You know what I mean?
Right. Drake does Hotline Bling. Yes.
Yeah.
Jay ends with, what is he in with? New York State of Mind?
I would just leave.
Empire State of Mind. Oh, yeah. I was gone. I was so hot when he ended the show. I was like, yeah, I'm good. Have a good day.
You're like, great. First one to the parking lot. Thank you.
That's exactly what we did. And we got away from the shenanigans.
I would agree that the best run is definitely like after Algorithm, that those four songs, definitely the best run in this project to me. Because I don't know what's going on in Warlords.
Yeah, Warlords to Why Go to the Party, I'm good.
Littlefoot, Bigfoot, I was like, oh no.
I was waiting on like a Neptune switch on that.
Like, or maybe some trap drums to come in or something?
just some really, because you can hear like some, the other thing with this, the Prince sound, I definitely hear like some Neptunes in here.
Oh, I mean, he's always been a Neptune. I mean, what was the...
Absolutely. What, Camp?
No, Kawhi. What was the, was it like Kawhi?
Oh, Kawhi, yeah. Kawhi Hawaii.
Yeah, there's a lot of Neptune stuff on there.
Yep. I can't think of the song, but the song that's on there that's really Neptune's is really dope. Yeah, so there's a lot of like places where those Neptune's chords and synths could sit at.
Yeah.
And I hear them on that run. Mm. But then when I hear Littlefoot, Bigfoot, Get Out the Way, because it's this particular sound, I'm like, okay, this is the setup. And then maybe halfway in, they're going to do he's going to do a sharp left. And it's going to be the part of the song that I like. And I never got that.
Littlefoot, Bigfoot sounds like he heard the Justin Timberlake album and said, you know what? Yeah, I could do that too.
I too am a man of the woods.
Why Go to the Party? That's definitely the song you make when you're rich and bored and lonely in Los Angeles.
Mm.
That's a song where you got a lot of time in your hands.
I think, Doc. Okay, so here's my question, Doc. Do you like LA?
No.
Okay. All right. I love. Yeah. Then there it is. Because I love LA. So your comment, and I think you might have said it on our Patreon, but like your comment makes sense. Where you're not a big fan of LA. I love LA, and some music sounds like LA, and for you, that's a knock, and for me, that's a compliment.
LA is really the wrong term, right? It's more like Calabasas or like somewhere up in the hills or whatever. Like it is not only am I rich, but I'm like rich and I'm around nothing but rich people, and there's, you know, it's, yeah. I honestly, Why Go to the Party just sounds kind of like, I don't know, indulgent almost. Like I don't understand, like, Who has Childish's ear and is telling him, yeah, put that on the project?
Childish?
Basically. And honestly, the rest of this I'm kind of good with. Feels Like Summer is fine to me. The violence is interesting.
I like how this album ends. Feels Like Summer is a record that I slept on. I think that its place here is cool. Like, I feel like a lot of artists, and we'll talk about this with the J Electronica album, where people were asking for 8-9-year-old songs to be on this project. And some rappers will say, no, don't, that's for that, you know, that's for that period of time, where someone like J Elect would actually benefit putting some of those older songs on streaming services. And I think this fits here for the sound and like, yeah, this like Feels Like Summer's a great song. And then these last two records are really, they're dope.
I like the violence. Under the Sun feels kind of like 90s rockish in a way. I don't know. Okay. Doesn't really work for me.
Okay. Wait, 90s rock doesn't work for you?
No, I'm leaving that in the 90s. That's good.
Mm.
Yeah, this project feels all over the place. I don't know. It's maybe because like Awaken My Love was so like thematically consistent.
Yeah. So one reason why I'm not gonna, it's weird. Like, part of me doesn't want to take this album serious because it's not mixed and mastered.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is like, is this gonna be is this like, what is the future of these songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know, right? So it's kind of, I mean, if this is where he's at right now, I guess I would also say this, like, I don't hear anything, like, a lot of stuff on here just didn't jump out to me that much. Like, I think Beautiful is, like, super interesting, and I like that a lot. But I don't know, there's just a lot on here that's kind of like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, like, I don't know, you got to, like, just sit and, like, enjoy the vibes kind of feeling. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's cool. And I expect more from Childish. I mean, maybe Awake On My Love just has my expectations too high.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, because the internet and Awake On My Love are so different, and Camp is different too. And I think that's just because he was a different artist back then. It's like he's clearly waiting until he finds something completely different before he puts out another body of work, which I can appreciate. You know, this makes me think of Bruno Mars, to be honest with you.
Mm. Yeah, he's been real quiet.
Yeah, it makes me say, what is he doing? He, besides clearly still spending Uptown Funk money and 24 Karat Magic money. He made a lot of money on that album, I'm sure. But it's like, yo, I thought about it and I thought like, yo, what is Bruno going to do next? Like, stealing 90 songs was so lucrative for him. Like, does he do that again?
Maybe move on to like late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, man.
Just wait till he samples With a Party Hat.
Yeah. Oh,
Country Grammar.
Oh, man. Stop it.
I just made you so sad.
Man, Lunatics to the Day I Die, and Remo Game, the Bulls and Sonics. Oh, man. Okay, anyway. Yes. All right, so Childish
Gambino. Anything else you want to say about this project?
Nah, I'm good.
What do you want to tackle next?
Let's go Uzi.
Okay.
This
yeah, so we should say, like, he definitely went number one with the non-deluxe version of this project. Shout out to him.
Yeah, congratulations.
This is basically, he put out a deluxe version of Eternal Take, which is subtitled Little Uzi versus the World 2. This basically feels like a collection of stuff he recorded that did not fit in with that concept. And it's like, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot here that's good, actually.
I would agree.
Which is interesting because there's a lot of big names on production, guests, but...
Yeah, it seems like he was pulling off of those clickable names. I think he knew, like, hey, these records aren't... They're fine, in your word, but let's save the clickable name records. I can get my streams up. I could potentially get another number one because I'm riding off the momentum of last week. And I'm fine because I get two number ones back to back, but it's because of all the other things like formulating together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because like his ear for that first project, you know, for last week was clearly like, so he's like, oh, he's really listening to interesting stuff. And then this is like, there are some beats on here that are better than others for sure. But then there's a lot of stuff on here where I was like, this is generic.
Yeah.
So apparently these are all the generic beats that he got.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked Myron. And I like Strawberry Peel.
I like Strawberry Peel. I especially like where it's at in the album because you get those three Pierre Bourne beats in a row. And like he has a sound that is mostly not for me. And so Wheezy does Strawberry Peels. And just like it works really well in the context of the album. Although Pierre does the 21 Savage record, Yasirsky. And that's probably the first song on that. You know, the first three didn't do anything for me, actually. So, like, Yasirsky's fine. I like it. Strawberry Peels works. I Can Show You mostly works. That might be it.
Yeah, I'm good after Strawberry
Peel. Yeah.
I'm good.
Not a fan. Just a lot of,
I'm good. Not for me.
But from what I've seen online, I don't know. Seems like he might still have enough to go number one a second week.
That would be crazy.
I guess the question is, would it count as a second project?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why he labeled it Versus the World 2.
So why call it the deluxe? Because like if you go stream this online, you get both projects in one swoop.
Do you? Because on Spotify, it has it separated. Oh,
maybe you can do both. Mm-hmm. That would be.
Maybe. And I think that's because I've seen like Documentary 2 has that with Documentary 1, Documentary 2. Give Rich a Die Trying and The Massacre has that. Like there's a couple projects. Blueprint, there's 1, 2, and 3 on certain streaming services. So you could just upload it twice. Keep the same ISRC numbers and just build your streams up from there.
Yeah, on Apple Music, you can only do it as one big 32 song mega project.
Got it. Okay.
It's unfortunate because like I felt like we were pretty complimentary of Uzi last week, but this just feels like, well, here's all the, as you put it, clickable names. Here's all these clickable names. Let's get that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. That's what he wanted to accomplish. There you go.
Boy, we're just skating along here. All right.
Oh, this next one will be even faster.
See, you say that. Like, this Don Toliver project, so it's album's called Heaven or Hell. This is way more interesting than that Lil Uzi Vert project was to me.
It is painfully uninteresting.
Whoa! No. All right, hold on.
Yeah.
First of all, the production here is largely, like, really good to excellent.
It's just as generic as this Uzi
project. No. This is basically, like, it's very clearly, like, a Travis Scott project.
That, I mean, I think that's my problem. I think it's just really, I don't know if it's lazy or like these artists, these big artists are signing people who sound just like them and they're getting all the good stuff. And then the artist kind of gets some of the throwaways, but they get the name recognition of standing next to the big guy. You know, I think Party's one of those guys who is in the same boat. Like, there's no reason for me to listen to Don Toliver when Travis is there. And I'm not even the biggest Travis guy either.
I do like Travis. I like Don Toliver. I like his voice, actually. He has an interesting voice. But some of the beats on here, like the intro, first of all, a lot of Wonder Girl on here, a lot of Mike Dean, as you might expect. But like, I mean, so let's see. The intro, I really like. Cardigan, totally works. After Party's fine. Can't Feel My Legs, I really like that beat. Candy works, Company works, Spaceship works, No Photos works. I mean, for me, one of the biggest problems here is like, I like Don Toliver's voice and I think he has an interesting kind of sound, but like, he is very clearly like, oh, I'm going to just rap about stuff that is like new in my life right now, which is I have like a good amount of money. And so I'm going to rap about like my car, or I'm going to rap about taking drugs, or I'm going to rap, like, it gets really old really fast, content wise, but musically, mm-hmm. There's some good stuff here. You didn't like Mike Dean's electric guitar solo on Candy?
I think.
Oh, see, this is definitely a project that rewards you like listening all the way through. There's like outro beats and all sorts of stuff happening here.
Oh yeah, then you got to accommodate for those of us who don't have time. You got 30 seconds.
Like, oh man, no. So this just like these kind of beats just don't do it for you.
Not really. Okay. Yeah, not really. It just feels like I've heard them before. They're like type beat. They're really good type beats. And that's not a slander for type beats, but it's just like it just sounds like something I've heard before a bunch of times.
All right. I mean, it's what's interesting to me is like, so the Jack Boys project got put out at the end of the year and I felt like that was pretty meh, you know?
Mm-hmm. And people seem to like that.
Right.
That project.
Right. For me, the problem was like, I expect a certain level from Travis. I expect a certain level of interestingness from the production, and that just didn't have it. That felt like throwaways. And so I don't really know what to expect from this, but this project is very clearly like, some of these singles are from last year. Like, this has definitely been like in the oven for a while. Like, this got the full, like, this is not a, so I'll say this, if you are a Travis Scott fan, if you liked his last project at all, I would definitely give this a run, because it's definitely like of the same sound of this. Like, this is not a quick little, hey, here's, you know, Don Toliver did his thing and Travis jumped on one track and did whatever. Like, Mike Dean and Travis have co-production all over the place. Like, very clearly, like, they spent a lot of time on this. Like, this was a thing for them. So if you like that kind of sound, I recommend it.
Yeah, because that was my other question. Like, is this an album?
Yeah, for sure. It's 12 songs. How is that not an album?
Well, no. we just had Megan put out a project. We've had David Eastern put out a million projects. You know, so it's one of those things where people just put out a collection of music. They call it a mixtape, or they don't call it anything. Mm. And then they say, oh, yeah, but this isn't the album. It's like, well, why? Why? I get one-offs. I get EPs with three or four songs, even five. I get short bursts of music, but like, it's 12 songs. It's professionally mixed and mastered. It's on streaming services. It's got clickable names. Like, why are you not putting it out as an album? Like, what do you, like, how does that, I would love to know somebody else's perspective on why they think that works. Hit us up at CRS Podcast, because I'm honestly not sure.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Don Toliver's going to open up for the, weekend on that tour. Oh boy.
When's that weekend album come out? This week? Next week?
It's a good question. Hold up. Yeah. March 20th is when it's supposed to come out. So Friday.
It's Friday. Wow.
You ready for
No. I have zero desire to hear a Weeknd album in 2020. I don't want to hear it. Like, you haven't put out anything that's made me remotely interested in the last 8 years, 7 years. Like, no, I'm not interested.
I imagine he'll go number one.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. And I'm curious to know if people will love it or not. I'm curious. It seems like he's like, oh, I'm a dirtbag again. Like, all right. Okay. House of Balloons 2. All right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Can you imagine if he did House of Balloons 2?
Yes, I can, actually. Actually, I can imagine if he did House of Balloons 2. Yes.
Is he coming? Would I want to go see? Would I want to see The Weeknd?
No, I'm good.
The whole time I'm screaming, Glass Table Girls, you know, I'm going to be that guy.
It would behoove him to do a trilogy tour.
Next year will be the 10th anniversary of those projects. Oh my God.
It would behoove him to do
that.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.